Live from Los Angeles, this is The Bachelor Masters. Here we are in week three, and the fun keeps coming. They're clearly leaving those two pageant contestant people on the show so they can do their two-on-one date, which is a little too transparent to me. Under normal circumstances, that dating relationship would be over. And I think, also, this is the soonest in the podcast that The Bachelor Masters has ever actually talked about show content. How about that?
Well, it doesn't have to be, Craig. We can still find a tangent to delay things.
Well, I got one. For those that have been longtime listeners, you probably remember a side hustle that Chris has called Cinema Boof. And that is back on YouTube. Just look up Cinema Boof, one word. There's also an Instagram, Cinema Boof, one word, where Chris and a friend do spirited movie reviews. And this time you did Glass, the third in a trilogy by M. Night Shyamalan.
I think Cinema Boof is back and more YouTube-y than ever. That's what I would say. That's what I would say the main difference is.
It's
what's
shorter.
What's YouTube-y? It's shorter. It looks a little bit more like other YouTube content. But the main thing is to see spirited discussion from real idiots. Right. And you don't get enough of that on the internet.
Well, Cinema Boof and Bachelor Masters have some similarity. You're able to connect disparate topics into one through line. You did bring up the Brett Kavanaugh meltdown in front of the Senate.
Yeah, I don't think we made it as clear in the video as maybe the initial idea, but Kavanaugh did have the term boof found on one of his high school documents, and he denied knowing what that meant. So we wanted to distance ourselves from Kavanaugh and boofing.
I think if I had one piece of constructive criticism, having watched the newest boof, it's that it seems like you've decided whether boof is a good thing or a bad thing for a film to be labeled.
Yeah.
And before it was left ambiguously.
I agree that the flexibility of the term boof in the past has been a strength, but we've been told we don't use the term enough, full stop, no matter what it means. So you can expect us to say boof a lot more if we keep doing we plan to keep doing these videos, but at this point, we only have one in this comeback, so yes.
Well, I don't want to tell you all what to do, but I had the thought that it'd be clever if in the next video you like the movie that you're reviewing and you use boof in a positive way to describe the movie.
That's the kind of chaos I'm into, Craig. So you're fortunately or unfortunately, you're talking to the right one of the two of us. And hey, chaos reigns, baby. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. So.
I was going to say, speaking of chaos, EZR, what's up? But I can't think of anything chaotic that you do.
You don't know me that well, no. Well, should we get on The Bachelor or should we keep tangenting?
We have a couple Bachelor Masters related news to talk about. We had a big mention on another podcast, and we also want to shout out to one of our super fans, our original super fan, Jen from Oregon. But why don't we hold off on that, and we'll use that in between a couple Bachelor segments, just so we can give that the attention it deserves.
For context for everybody, Pirates Adventure is right next to Medieval Times.
Oh. Yes. Well, I knew it was by Knott's Berry Farm, just outside of Anaheim. Even locals, I don't think, really take much notice of the pirate place.
No. It's fairly new, but it's the same exact concept. And I've always wanted to look more into it because it's interesting that they would ever make another unsuccessful dinner play thing right next to it. You know, they're always trying to get people to go to these things. And the pirate one, I can't tell you numbers, but I can tell you that I've never heard of anyone going to it ever.
Well, there's lots of things that no one goes to ever that the ABC Disney Bachelor franchise seem to find and want to promote, which makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Most of the musical guests.
Yeah. The Medieval Times one totally makes sense because you have knights and they knock each other off, but the pirates one, there's no water. They're doing American Gladiators. Stage show that they show you here is to be believed. I don't understand there. I understand less the gimmick now.
Well, remember, there's a large segment of not just Americans, but the world. They make big trips out of these theme park excursions. You know, Disney World is not just Disney World. It's a whole collection of a dozen places you can go and experiences. They group everything together. So they'll go to Jimmy Buffett's
themed restaurant for dinner, and then they'll go to Universal the next morning, and then they'll do the water park. You know, I think it's the same kind of thing down there. People go to Anaheim, not associating that with a trip to Los Angeles, because a trip to Los Angeles can include all sorts of things. But down there, it's like, oh, we're going to Disneyland. Let's double that up with Knott's Berry Farm. And then, oh, look, there's this pirate thing.
I've totally seen these groups go into these places, but the pirate one, because it's much newer and the fads kind of faded, this feels like the Leo date that couldn't happen. And
well, there's no Waterworld restaurant, as far as I know.
Right.
Maybe one of these cast members is another Bachelor contestant. Maybe they were scouting for some new blood and they found this place. Well, there is a restaurant, bar, I guess. It's called the Belmont. Do you know about this?
No.
It's in West Hollywood. It's actually in walking distance to the Vanderpump Triangle, I guess you could call it, where Sir Pump and
Sir
Tom
Pump?
Tom.
Sir Pump?
Isn't it Sir Pumps a lot? No, it's Sir. Sir is the restaurant where Vanderpump Rules takes place. Pump is across the street. And the bartenders wear pink. And then Tom Tom just opened. That's new. But down the street is the Belmont. And that's where a huge amount of former Bachelor and Bravo personalities work. If you go, you can be bartended on or whatever, or see a huddle of Bachelor people. In fact, when you hear about these Bachelor dinners, mm-hmm. I think that's where Leo met
Kendall.
Kendall, yeah.
It's really?
Yeah, exactly. I was about to go maybe this weekend, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get away from some work priorities.
I'll go anytime. I have no idea.
I was going to say, I'm surprised we don't have a booth there and we don't broadcast out of the Belmont. Right. There's lots more Bachelor podcasts, a lot more visible than ours that I think they'd probably give first refusal to.
Not but maybe if we lie.
Yeah, well, I think it was either Chris, you or EZR, you know, you reminded me of that film that had been shot at Disney undercover on iPhones. Yeah. We could do some secret podcasting, but we're getting way ahead of ourselves here.
Chris, wait, you love that movie, right? You have to.
I do. I like it. I like it.
Ah, Chris.
What's it called?
Escape from Tomorrow.
Right, because Tomorrowland. Got it. But I do want to get back to, I tweeted a little bit to this effect last night when I liked a tweet from the @BachelorMasters account. Kaylin,
yeah.
the evil arch nemesis of Hannah B. Kaylin takes the word like to a whole new level. Mm-hmm. And am I the only one that word like, when inserted into sentences, is getting increasingly annoying in everyday life? And I get it. This is a reality show. People are nervous or on camera, and like tends to pop up in those situations. You know, someone's public speaking or something, they say or like. You get used to it, right? Like's going to show up. Ben Higgins really used the word like a lot. I complained about that on The Bachelor Masters. But Kaylin, when she was kind of freaking out to Colton when they were sitting together.
I have it right here, you know.
She was using like every other word. Is this in the drop you're about to play?
Yeah, we can play it, but I wanted to frame it in a different context. If you're ready for this, we can also include the like, or do you want to do it after?
Well, I want to talk about like, we're not going to get anywhere and we're not going to nudge culture to stop using it, but I would like to hear
you would your like thoughts. And you kind of like.
I just want to know that I'm not the only one that has this increasing annoyance to the word. But yeah, play the clip. Let's talk about like for a little bit, and then we'll jump over to your topic.
Okay.
We were in a competitive environment at Miss USA, and I feel like we handle competition differently. Like for me, I just I get very quiet. And there's things that like I haven't like talked to you about that have been like traumatic experiences in my life that deeply hurt me.
Four or five.
And I mean, it's like it's stuff that like I wanted to talk to you about, but just like it's as the relationship progresses, like it's like real life, not just like. You know, and it's something that like I had intentions of bringing up to you because it's some stuff that's like affected my life.
All right, that's enough.
But no, I couldn't even count them all. Wasn't that it's going to segue into what I want to talk about, but wasn't that a little bit of her trying to appear vulnerable and like she wasn't really ready to say what she was going to say?
You mean the word like or just her in general?
The word like in that little monologue or whatever.
I don't think it was on her conscious mind that much. Maybe you're right, UCR, that she was trying to have this performance of seeming vulnerable, but the like seemed like it came from real nervousness to me. Well, people used to say but now they say like. I mean, it's just one thing's gone to another. It's a generational shift. You just said, if you were younger, you would say like.
I do say like, but I try not to because
especially when we're recording, it takes, you know, you got to remind yourself not to say like when we hit record.
It's what you fall into. But I'm not saying she used the word like she didn't intentionally use the word like, but cutting herself off and saying kind of like is kind of a way of acting like you're more sad and it's unraveling faster than you think. It's you're saying to yourself, I have to act a little bit insecure about this. And that's kind of the best way to do it.
I sort of agree with that. Let me double back to that in just a sec. So first of all, like is part of a category of terms that are called discourse markers. And it's defined as a word or phrase that has no semantic meaning. It's used as filler. I mean, that's just a fancy way of saying it's filler. And it's natural for people to want to have filler. So doubling back, we've lost, us Western Americans or whatever, I don't know what you call them, American English speakers, pop culture, I don't know. We've lost the ability to not say something. I've always contended, and I say this when I am interacting with students or people that might be trying out public speaking for the first time or early in their development of that. It's okay to not say something or pause. The art of the pause has gone away. To me, it's better to pause than to say something as filler or something that you don't really mean. So that's what it comes down to, is that we've created a culture where people seem like they're expected to constantly have words coming out of their mouth. And it's only natural to have to think before you talk. So they say like or whatever as a way to let their mouth say something that their brain doesn't have to parse in order to have words coming out of their mouth while they're thinking. And as an example, professional speakers, like sports announcers, I just use like sports announcers. I'll edit that out.
But correctly, that's a similar.
You ever notice that they always say National Football League instead of NFL, and this Bears football team or this Packers football team? They always say this longer version of it. They could say in the NFL, blah, 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 but they'll say in the National Football League, blah, blah, blah. That's their version of that. They've trained themselves to say these longer versions of things so that they can say words without their brain needing to put energy in that, so they can think quickly about the next thing they're going to say, which I think is a good approach. So this is all to say it's unfortunate that, and I think Kaylin really took it to an extreme, is that she thought that she's not thinking about it, but she's been trained to constantly be saying things. And therefore, the word like just came out and then it spreads. Colton, who doesn't normally say like, starts saying like, and then he talks to another woman. She starts saying like, and it just kind of builds. We're already on the third episode of the season, and like has now taken over. Whereas on the first episode, it really wasn't there.
Okay, can we go to why I cut this out in the first place?
Well, that's it? You don't have anything to say in response to that?
Chris, I
went
agree.
On for like 5 minutes. I ain't even using the word like. See what I've done to myself?
Craig, you have turned my brain so that I notice it much more in life. So you're changing people one individual at a time. But I do, I think there is always social value and a social cost in how you communicate. And it just depends what your goal is. And I don't know, ECR, I see your point that I think you could use like and that kind of speech as a way to kind of turn people to seem more vulnerable, to make them more vulnerable. And then if you're going to strike, it does make you seem more weak and less in control of the ideas you're trying to express. And in general, though, Craig, I agree, and I've kind of tested this out in my life. I would say 90% rough napkin math, not scientific, but 90% of the time, not doing things or saying things does have a better outcome than when people rush or don't think. And that's what we see. And that's what I think about this thing with Kaylin and Hannah also.
And we talked about this before, where you and I, we like to, see, I'm actually using like in the proper way. We like to not say something in response to if someone says something aggressive to me, and I think you've picked up on this too, instead of kind of jumping back in an argument, sometimes we just don't say anything and blink.
Yeah, I would like to do that more than I do, because I think when I observe that, again, not every case, some cases you can lose kind of a verbal confrontation if someone's really smart that's going after you.
But a lot of times people haven't thought through whatever garbage they want to fight with you about. So that's where I think the pause has a lot of power, and it's not widely used. And that surprises people.
I had a teacher in high school who scolded us, did the I'm older thing, and told us all to stop doing that. And we did, basically. I grew up in, you know, Southern, like Valley girl type talk. And he's heard it so much. I don't even know where he was from. You know, he might have been from the East Coast, so maybe he noticed it. Right. But he really got to me, and I don't like the way it sounds. But I wouldn't have noticed unless you said it.
With
yes,
Kaling? Really?
No, I did notice it with the Kaling clip because you had said it to me earlier. Huh. The one person that annoyed me a lot with that was definitely one of the bachelors, and I think it was even before Ben Higgins. But I don't... with likes, it depends what they're trying to say. If they're trying to find...
Totally.
They're trying to soften something, that's when they use a lot of likes. And if they're trying to say something directly and using it as fillers, I tend to even look... I understand what you're saying about kind of a placeholder for breathing that they're using it for. But there's also this, you know, I think in Kaylin's case, she was using it to soften a blow of... Well, so I guess this is my issue. This is...
Yes.
I circled back anyway, not meaning to. This is why, in my eyes, Kaylin beat Hannah at Miss USA. Because she handled it, turned it back around, manipulated the situation to make her sympathetic. Hannah didn't say anything. Mm. And she is, I mean, she implied things for sure. I don't, like, she obviously grabbed him and said, excuse me, can I talk to you? Kaylin, you know, that Kaylin, you know, and did that. But that's it. She didn't say any words that were that bad or bad at all. And Kaylin, when confronted... I feel like she was smirking about winning. Hannah can't...
form sentences.
Right. This is not an excuse on Hannah, but I can see how Kaylin's a lot more manipulative and can handle situations and can handle competition way better than Hannah B.
Oh, yeah.
But Hannah B has... I mean, Hannah B has a lot of issues. I'm not saying she's right about anything she's doing. But
Kaylin... Mm-hmm. Kaylin ensured her defeat with her strategy is my position. I think...
Wait, say that again?
I think Kaylin is now marked to be let go at some time. And so is Hannah. But I think that's my prediction. And if I'm wrong, then the strategy that you're talking about, ECR, worked really well. But if I'm right, then I would contend Kaylin would have been a lot better off to not point the mirror back at Hannah to not bring this up, because she's a really strong candidate, except that now we always see how these two-on-one situations go. You're both gone. And to me, that was the long game, stupid move that she did.
Oh, okay.
She could have let it go.
Right.
Not addressed it.
But Hannah B said, something's up with Kaylin. I needed to tell you. Colton walked away upset, found Kaylin and try to get her to explain. Now, you tell me from this clip, listen to the, you know, you can count the likes too. But
you bet I will.
Can you believe she's so, you know, she social engineered the situation to make it about the sad thing she was about to talk about. So you can see why she's a winner in Miss USA.
Right.
She is definitely a social engineer. I got nothing else. So let me play it. But this time, let's listen for content.
We were in a competitive environment at Miss USA, and I feel like we handle competition differently. Like for me, I get very quiet. And there's things that like I haven't like talked to you about that have been like traumatic experiences in my life that deeply hurt me. And I mean, it's like, it's stuff that like I wanted to talk to you about, but this like, it's as the relationship progresses, like it's like real life. It's not just like... You know, and it's something that, like, I had intentions of bringing up to you because it's some stuff that's, like, affected my life, but not tonight and not right now, you know?
And I can't take anymore.
It's over.
Cut the madness.
So, in my eyes, even though Kaylin is, I think she's manipulative, I think Hannah can't control her feelings because she's so upset at how manipulative Kaylin is. But let's think about this honestly. Colton could not stand layered drama the way Hannah's presenting it. He needs someone who gets down to the point and just makes it about them
I agree with that.
So really, he needs someone to manipulate a situation the way Kaylin does, because he doesn't want to deal with any emotional messiness. So in a way, Kaylin's better for him, but if he was so worried about being lied to or whatever Hannah said, which I totally agree with, he shouldn't. I mean, people say they don't want to be lied to, but everyone needs a certain kind of person who's good at softening blows. So, I don't like these kinds of yes or no's. You know, maybe we're going to look at Kaylin like this villain, but maybe that's how they're setting her up. But I do think someone like that is exactly what Colton needs. So I don't know.
I would still say Kaylin is setting herself up for what I would call kind of an artful dressed up. You know, when people in communication say I and you statements, and people who are supposedly good emotional communicators communicate in I statements where you do not bring in someone else directly. You don't say you did a bad thing. You say I was confused with the way I approached the situation. Kaylin is setting up this drama where she's directly implicating Hannah, saying basically, I'm not manipulative, you are. And that's death in this kind of political fight that she's having with her.
Really? I think she's saying, Hannah, it's not about me and Hannah. That's over. I have a lot of deep personal things. I want to get to know you, and this is how we're going to build closer by being against Hannah.
That was the first interaction you played right there. That wasn't where she left it, though. She comes back and
right, exactly,
digs her grave.
Yeah, it's the second one where I just really
the one at the pool party.
Yeah.
Because Colton is left at the end saying, and he has a quote that approximates to, I'm hearing that you're both calling each other manipulative. I don't know what to believe. And that's the problem, I think.
Well, who do you think is going to come out with a better explanation there?
Between Hannah and Kaylin. I guess it's just where we disagree by degrees again. I think Kaylin won the day, but she could have won this whole season, and I think she can't now.
I think they're both gone under usual circumstances. Normally, I think anyone would probably pick sides. I pick neither.
Like whether they're going to be there at the end or just longer than the...
If the producers weren't telling me to keep him around for the two-on-one day, I would cut them both. And who knows, maybe he will cut them both on the two-on-one day. There's nothing stopping him.
Yeah, but isn't Kaylin too beautiful to be cut?
No.
I mean that in a very, like, bachelor way.
There's something about the lower half of her face that's just, I don't know, maybe I had a bad experience with somebody who has similar features. If you date somebody with a certain name, first name, and then that name resonates poorly with you for the rest of your life, there's something about the bottom half of her face that's just not my type.
Oh my God, Craig, she looks like a Full House extra or so. She looks like a Full House.
Oh my God. Yeah, I
don't know. How about Colton going into the production tent and sitting down and asking for advice? And then they go wake up Chris Harrison from his nap or whatever. He has to come rolling in like, what the hell do you want, Colton?
Yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I am so interested in how emotionally childish she is. She needs immediate guidance at every turn.
Yeah, there's something to that, yeah.
But I want to get to the pool party, I guess. I mean, it wasn't really much of a pool party. It was just the showdown before the, But
before the what?
Before the end of the pool party. Before the rose ceremony. Kaylin.
There was other things that happened.
It was like a showdown part one.
Currently on the live video ECR and I have, we're seeing Elise and Colton at the theme park in San Diego, I think. So there are a few other things before the pool party.
On our unofficial sponsor, Hulu. Maybe we should pause now and turn our attention to our colleague non-corporate podcast that did a big mention. Just to set this up a little bit, they, at the beginning of their podcast, mention people that have tweeted at them, which is a good thing. And I think we do that a little bit too. We shout out. I was interacting with them on Twitter. And since we're another podcast, they took the time to look at our profile and some information about us and gave us a little bit of air. Now, they're called the Sorta Pop Culture Bachelor Podcast. Got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, they're not on your usual corporate podcast app, to use Bachelor Masters terminology. They're only on SoundCloud. You can get to their SoundCloud from their profile. I tweeted to them, and they are working on it. There's some hiccup with their submissions to Apple, and it's not getting up into the usual feeds that propagate it around. So I guess give it time, and then you'll be able to find it and then start listening. They seem like a cool duo. in their mention of us, there's one thing in particular that I kind of want to address. So we have, if you go to our Twitter page at Bachelor Masters, the banner image at the top is a picture of me in the radio studio. EZR took the picture. I don't want to get into all sort of cisgender topics here, but I think I look male.
This is why this is so important to you. I'm like,
yes. Hey. They couldn't decide whether or not I was male or female. So let's let them speak for themselves.
One of our new friends is The Bachelor Masters, and you can follow them at Bachelor Master. And Lexi, I creep Masters. Their Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
They are a competitor, a fellow Bachelor
Ooh,
podcast.
Shouting out the competitor.
Oh, snap. Yeah, we're not one of those jelly shows, though, so we're happy to shout them out. But yeah, he retweeted one of my tweets. So
nice.
I haven't listened to their show, but I support it.
Awesome.
And actually, I saw in their Twitter banner, and like he had a picture of their microphone. Same microphone I'm using right now.
Oh, wow. You guys are basically best friends.
Yeah, BFFs. I mean, I don't know his name. Could be a her. But yeah, ultimately, like-minded individuals, great minds think alike.
So I don't think that meant that he
that wasn't as bad as I remember it listening to it.
I knew it wouldn't be.
He could be a woman. That was his word, right?
Well, maybe he didn't remember what the banner looked like, and he said, "Well, I didn't see a beard, so you never know." And even then,
maybe it was a display of sensitivity because, as you said, Greg, gender identities. Who knows? Just by looking at somebody,
that's fair.
So don't.
Well, if he had listened to the podcast, he would know there's three of us.
I like that, you know, in the spirit that he displayed in calling us out, I would also say that was wonderful. There's a lot of camaraderie, so that's great. Yeah. But I also thought he's willing to endorse our content without having heard us. That made me laugh.
That is pretty funny. Well, about the microphone. So that is not the microphones we use. We use these cheap, crappy microphones. And that particular microphone, is it KPFK, EZR?
Yeah, Pacifica Radio.
We are so non-corporate that we talk into the air and somehow make this into something that goes on the internet.
Well, Sorta Pop Culture Bachelor Podcast, they are at Sorta Pop Culture. Give them a follow, give them a listen, and hopefully we can keep going back and forth on Twitter and other places. They seem like a cool set of people.
Cool.
Turning
dude.
Our attention to super fans, Jen in Oregon, our original super fan.
She had some questions for us.
She had a follow-up question. She had asked us a while back the origin story of Bachelor Masters. She had a follow-up question, which I think we can answer quickly.
Sure.
Because it's related. Yeah.
How did we decide on specifically a Bachelor podcast? And were you and Chris huge fans, but were scared because, you know, judgment of Bachelor watching? For example, did you guys have epic conversations and said, you know what, we got to make this into a podcast.
Right. Going back to our origin story, which is a number of episodes ago, and that story includes how you came on EZR later after Chris and I already started, and you were a big Bachelor fan, and you already enjoyed deconstructing it with your friends. So that, I think, is what she's talking about, right?
Unashamedly.
I was ashamedly. I had no particular love for The Bachelor, but I watch a lot of television. And this was a way for me to enfranchise my watching of television. It gives me a good excuse. I don't know. You know, I have a degree in art. I guess it's just kind of ingrained in me that if you're spending a lot of time on something, why not find a way to express yourself via that?
Well, you're also Bachelor's, a media teacher.
Yeah. I've taught media studies and stuff like that, production. So I'll hand it over to Chris here in just a sec, but I'll also say that I had noticed that amongst the pop culture genre of podcasts, a significant subgenre is Bachelor podcasts. So rather than create a podcast sort of out in the air on a random niche TV show, by entering the Bachelor space, we had a guaranteed audience.
Not guaranteed, but... Well,
a guaranteed potential...
Yeah, potential audience.
Segment of an existing audience.
I was brand new to it when you and I reconnected, Craig. So the timing was perfect. I like media. I studied media as well. And I like where pop stuff and artsy stuff meets. I think that's the easiest way for me to say it. So The Bachelor was really interesting to get into it as a new person. And I wanted to talk about it. I think that's the easiest way to say how I came into The Bachelor. But yeah, basically people are, if you've been with Bachelor Masters from the beginning, that's like the first season and episode I ever saw was, maybe I had seen a few episodes before meeting with Craig, but you're kind of seeing like from the beginning of my experience with the whole thing.
Yeah, the first season of Bachelor Masters, just Chris and I, and I imagine it would be a fun going back and listening to those.
You guys go on some tangents. Oh, the only thing I was going to add to it was that I remember listening and being like, wait, what about the show? What about the show?
Right. Well, we've been consistent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, what about the show?
Oh, well, the only thing I was going to add to the half of the origin story that I hadn't brought up before that I thought was kind of relevant was that the week you asked, or you basically invited me to join without Chris's consent. I'm not sure about that, actually, but that's how it felt. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. And you're like, go ahead and join us.
Yeah.
I actually had a huge falling out with a friend because we were going to do an I Love Lucy convention. Now, we had crazy plans, but basically they were my plans, which I was very mad that we weren't going to go through with it, because when we were standing in line at the Seinfeld house, I don't know if you guys remember, that they had a Seinfeld recreate like a set because Seinfeld was going to go on Hulu. So they made people wait out for hours outside in the heat.
Yeah.
And so in line, I said, we should do the same thing for I Love Lucy.
A pop-up attraction.
But we were going to have a quote-unquote convention where we were going to have karaoke, all the songs. We were going to have the furniture. We were going to have giveaway. I had so many plans. I still have the plans somewhere. But anyways, me and this friend had a falling out over her being a deceitful person.
Shout out if you're listening.
Yeah. So I was kind of... It was one of those moments where you're like, wow, it all evens out for me. One person goes away and then two people come into your life that are even, you know, it just works out all over again into getting back.
Yeah, one door closes, another door opens.
I really didn't want to say that, but yeah.
a quick button in this conversation, because I know we're keeping it short, but
short in relative terms. Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, Craig, if it had been anyone except you asking to do this, I would not be interested. So a big part of it, I would say, is talking tangents, because I know we jokingly talk about all the tangents we go on and we don't always cover everything in this show. But doing a deconstruction in this really specific way, that was interesting to me. So probably the final reason.
Wow. Well, thanks for your kind words, and right back at you. And it really did go. We were sitting there, Adam was there, and you know it's going to work when this conversation goes like this. We had talked, okay, you want to do a podcast? Yeah, that'd be great. And, you know, we could talk about various things. And okay, great. I was thinking we do it on The Bachelor. And you're like, okay.
Yep.
Sounds good. We'll do it. So
there we go.
We knew we had hit on something good. All right. Jen in Oregon, thanks, as always. Now, should we talk a little bit about Elise and her roller coaster rides with Colton and the inclusion of kids from a nearby cystic fibrosis center in San Diego?
Yeah, I want to get ECR's take on Colton and the kids because it touches his charity.
Yeah, and you've been critical of his sincerity doesn't seem like exactly the right word, but along those lines of his involvement with kids that are sick.
Yeah. My issue here is that, oh man, this date did not seem sincere to me. I don't know if Colton, but to be fair on this, not because people would think, well, you don't think any date's sincere. I saw him with Cassie later in this episode. That's the dolphin, the speech pathologist, blonde. It's not really any other way to describe her. And they seemed like they really liked each other. Whereas with Elise, I didn't see it. And then he was trying to make a reason why she is quote unquote strong minded. That's the same thing he did with Hannah B. He kind of gave her the reasons why she was off that day. Uh-huh. I don't know. And it seems like a pattern, you know. Then he ended up giving Nicole, the Cuban person from Miami, the rose. Right. And I didn't feel like that was sincere either. So I kept having these, you know, producers are really telling him what to do feeling about it. This whole episode kind of felt like that. So I... that's kind of
where I stand, especially when he goes, I know you're strong. Tell me why you're strong. And he's like, and she's she says, I had a sister who died, right, and then we made a charity for her. Well, he's like, well, oh, that's why you're strong. And it's
let's
like,
put that aside for a second, because that, to me, is another aspect of this whole thing. I think we should stay narrowed in on the daytime date itself.
About the kids, I got nothing. They disappeared eventually, which is weird.
The weird feeling I have with the kids, and it was true in the previous season that we saw the kids at his charity. It's true here. Is, and this might not be Colton's fault, but they do play these kids always as nothing more than props. And it's really weird. There's something about, if you do that with kids in a normal circumstance, that's one thing, but they're always focusing on there's some kind of illness or something that these kids have that always makes what would otherwise feel like kind of a nice day a little weird to me. I don't know if that's just me or if you guys have.
Well, let me try something out with you here, Chris. So yeah. Let's go to college football. There's two particular cases I want to quickly mention and see if you think there's a correlation.
All right.
The first is, I lived in Iowa for a number of years. The University of Iowa has Kinnick Stadium, which is this old historic friendly confines football stadium right in the middle of campus. And they built a children's hospital wing tower right next to it. So it overlooks the football field. And at the top, there's basically an observation area. So during the games, all of the sick children, these are serious, potentially life-threatening illnesses they have, go to the top with their nurses and their family, and they watch the game. It's pretty cool. And Iowa started this thing. It's got national attention where after the first quarter, everyone, all the players, the entire stadium, all the fans wave up to the observation deck. So that's number one. Number two is Purdue, which is in Indiana, they had a kid who had, I think, cancer, terminal cancer, and he became really nationally famous because he was a huge Purdue fan. They totally involved him, but he predicted Purdue's win over, was it Ohio State beginning of the year? Big win, big upset. He predicted it, and he ended up dying. He died, I think, a few weeks ago. So are those props? Are those actual, like, really cool things, in your opinion, Chris? And is that related to, I mean, they're on TV. These are games make money for television.
I think you are striking at the heart of the question. And it's not, I'm not saying I have an easy answer. And I'm not saying that it's a one-size-fits-all case. Because there could be great things that come for these kids out of having been on this show. And I think that might change my opinion. It's just something about the tenor of this depiction made it seem like it's really the focus is Colton, and it's really about Colton and Elise as a secondary component. And it's like these kids are the props that are going to make them seem more appealing. Whereas those football games, it's a little different because I do think that it seems like, well, they're getting some kind of benefit. There might be a lot of money that's being raised for disease research. It's a little different to me, but I think you're giving the right examples to show it's a complicated thing. But I take it, Craig, does that mean when you saw this, you saw something different or you felt something different than I did?
No, I kind of put them all in the same place, which is they're kind of uncomfortable and people are making money off of it. And I don't love it, but I understand that it's part of what makes us human. It's comforting to a lot of people, and I'm willing to go with that, even though I have hesitation across the board.
Maybe I'm wrong on this, and Isar, I think you'll know best if I am wrong on this, but the best example I can think of is when you have celebrity A-list talented actors portray mental illness on film.
Right.
It's like sometimes that can be a useful, very great thing. Sometimes it can be horribly wrong and exploitative and be... Sometimes it's a combination of the two, and I don't think we know without some distance. That's kind of like what seeing these kids here is like.
Yeah. Well, don't get me started on the show that comes on ABC after The Bachelor, The Good Doctor. I know a lot of people like that show, but it's like the highest rated show. But
it is?
Well, amongst whatever category.
A lot of viewers.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah, but I don't even want to go there.
That's a tangent for another day.
Yeah.
It sounds like what you guys are saying is that if the cost is lower to who's doing it and higher to the quote unquote victor, you know, the kids, then it's okay. And if the one who benefits more is the one doing the quote exploiting, then it's not okay.
I guess so. ABC makes a lot of money on The Bachelor.
Football game. The kids are the one who are getting these great seats. Well, and
I was going to say, like the football games, those 15 or so kids, cystic fibrosis kids that were on the show last night, they're not at home, I think, saying, we got exploited by ABC. They're making money on this. I think they're probably saying, oh my gosh, we were on The Bachelor. It was amazing. It was good for them. It's cool.
It's not exploitation, but it's one person. It's a cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah.
Who's getting the most benefit? Who doesn't want
to be on TV? They used our footage. I don't want to compare myself to a sick kid, but they used our footage when we went to the taping of The Proposal. In more than one episode, we didn't get any money on that, yet we talk about it on our podcast all the time. So people like being on TV. I don't
Well, you know what? I'm on to ABC. If they cut these kids in other episodes and I know they weren't there, I'm calling them out.
Well,
they're blue screened in them. Yeah.
You know that there's some, so we live in LA and we go to tapings. There's some tapings I would never go to, no matter what. But you know all those giveaways they do on you know, the talk? It's because
Ellen or whatever.
Right. Because Ellen's different because people actually want to see Ellen, but no one really cares about going to a lot of these daytime shows, except that they'll give you all those prizes. It's advertising for the show. It's commercials built into the show. Yeah. And then everyone standing in line, it was only standing in line basically for that.
Right.
So there's some shows people wouldn't go to unless there was a giveaway.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to get people to go to these shows anyway, even sometimes with giveaways. I've seen ads that are like, they'll pay. Well, Craig is someone that they'll pay you to go to them. Tangent. Let's get back to now we talked about the charity. Let's
All right. That. Well, okay, Elise, I think we should respect Elise's story and just say that it's one of the very rare instances on reality TV where her backstory was truly awful.
Are you serious?
Her sister had to choose between having the kid and living. That is the ultimate sacrifice.
I didn't really hear that. I heard
the doctor said.
No, the doctor said you have this. You're going to die anyway. There was no this or
they
that.
Couldn't
no
give her choice. Treatment because she was pregnant. She chose to carry the pregnancy to term. If she had aborted the pregnancy, she could have gotten treatment. Now, that's not a guarantee that she'll live, but it obviously is treatment. That's exactly what she said.
The latter was what I heard too, ECR. Or the way Elise portrayed it was she decided not to be treated because she describes all the pain she had to go through as well because she had this cancer inside of her while she was pregnant.
Yeah. I guess. I know three people in the last year, you know, in 2018, who died childbirth, found out they had stomach cancer when they were, I mean, this is just part of life. I don't know why it's such a sad, like, it's life is death.
Well, it's not I grew up in Russia and it was either be a prostitute or move to America and become an Instagram star. That was okay, but it's still kind of funny. There's just nothing hokey or funny or anything to criticize about that. It's a truly felt awful story, and he did ask her why she's so strong. That was a good answer. I mean, that is why she's strong. I think that's
great. I mean, I don't know. Here's the deal, though. She has a charity. I couldn't make a charity if it was my only source of what I could not find the means, find the donors, find the people to support.
Yeah, the paperwork.
I could never
set it up.
Paperwork. I wouldn't even know what to do. That reeks to me of someone who's already in a position of this kind of status, and then all of a sudden something like death happens, which is people can't wrap their heads around it, and then you just go and do, you know, these sometimes those kinds of people think, why would this happen to me? I don't know her. I have nothing against her, but if you can start a charity, then you're living a better life than a lot of other people. And you know, death happens. That's just I can't. You can feel bad for situations, but
yeah, And I do often think about how awful it was to be a human up until about 1900. You know, the entire million-year existence of Homo sapiens. Just think about how awful being human was and how likely you were to die at any moment, especially in childbirth. And, you know, I can't help but think about that. We put a lot of stock as privileged Americans in death and, you know.
True, and it's a precarious thing. I think ECR maybe one of the things you're saying, or if I'm reading too much into it, you can correct me, but it's sort of like that is the norm still for a lot of people, right? And that death is part of life, and for even people who are kind of complacent about that, could be the norm for us tomorrow, for masses of people.
Sure, yes. Yeah, but enough. Someone like that doesn't have that.
But do we have to split the difference again here? Because I would say, ECR, I hear what you're saying in terms of normalizing circumstance, and that Elise is probably, you know, as a person, that's hard for her to compare apples to oranges like she's trying to do. But at the same time, the story she tells, the way she tells that, that's tough if you're looking at the sister's point of view. It's because it's not just that she died in childbirth or of cancer or either one of those. It's like she had this knowledge looking out from probably a fairly young age, and that, while it might happen to a number of people, it's not the normal experience for a person that age to be told that, look, this is the choice you have to make. That is pretty harrowing. It's like either people get death sentences, like, you're gonna die, here you go, or, right, you know, you're fine and healthy, but not, you could possibly live, or you're going to die here and have to kind of face that. That's heavy.
It is heavy.
I guess, but I don't know if that's her quote unquote source of strength.
Fair enough.
That, you know, everyone
except this girl he's about to cut, who I forget her name, from Canada, has their own sob story.
I guess just my original point is that of all the sob stories we hear on these shows, this one was like a legitimate sob story.
Okay. Well, right. I guess I just had a lot of women who I know die, and I don't even know that well. One was a friend. The other two were, I heard the story, had died at childbirth or right after childbirth recently in the United States at a good hospital in 2018. So like, that's kind awesome. Of the way it goes. I don't know. Maybe I'm I'm the one who's seeing death too casually, I guess. Right. I don't know.
But anyway. I mean, you wouldn't say that that's the normal experience, though.
No, but I don't discount it now. Right. Yeah, no, it's absolutely not. It's not normal. Absolutely. I just think it's, it's par for the course, cancers.
Hear what you're saying there. yeah, absolutely. And everyone has people that everyone you know, if you don't know people that have died, it's coming, you know, for you or people you know, we're all going to die. Yes.
All right. Well, we're in danger of doing what I really don't like that they do on morning news, which is they'll say something real heavy and do a story, and then they'll be like, all right, now we're going to go outside.
And now the weather.
We call those the Tony Danza transitions. Do you guys remember the Tony Danza show?
Well, I remember Who's the Boss.
No. This is a daytime show, I want to say. Okay. And he would do these awesome, like, yeah, very sad. Okay, now who wants to win a new, you know, and then, I'm sure it's on YouTube.
That's funny.
It was classic.
You know what? The difference is we carry with us a heavy, not completely ironic, moroseness with us at all times. That's how we get away with it.
It's true. We do. We have the weight of the world on our shoulders. Now, ECR, do you have any sort of drop that can transition us into a new last segment of the Bachelor Masters here?
We really don't know his type, and to assume that we know his type, that's just a foolish thing to do.
You used the phrase his type. I just personally think when I was younger, I thought I liked a certain type and I always dated the same.
Okay. That's great and all.
Let's start all over.
I was kind of hoping you'd play like something funny. Like
I kind of thought that too halfway through. Hold on a second.
Meeny, meeny, miny, mo. Oh, no.
Jennifer for the wrong reason. Social media influencer. She's in it for the wrong reason.
Oh, well, Craig, you're not feeling it tonight?
Oh, gosh.
That was good.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah. I'm never going to be able to live that down.
Canada Caitlin, sacrificial lamb to prove he's serious. He has to make an example of someone.
You call that, yeah.
Where someone
and
has to
the other
anyone...
villain was gone. What's her name? Catherine? Was that Catherine. Other person? They both, those were big cuts, I thought.
I had no idea who Caitlin, who Canada Caitlin was at all.
Right.
And and Bree, the other villain.
Oh,
was
yeah,
Bree,
she's the one that faked the Australian accent. She got cut sort of unceremoniously. And we've mentioned this before, but they've pretty much gone away with exit interviews. She just disappeared into the night.
Yeah, that's been happening for years. It's bothered me.
Yeah, but, I kind of wish they would do that.
But it does happen later on because Colton has to come and be nicer about it.
I love how they say, hey, you know, we're all dating the same guy. No, you're not dating until you're down to like 5 or 7.
Right.
They're like getting to know somebody right now. Barely.
Barely. Let's say our goodbyes to Bree and Canadian and whatever.
For that, there's also the second group date where they do like bachelor games again. And
bachelor games.
Yeah, whatever.
Sort of was like ho hum. I've listened to a couple other podcasts this morning on The Bachelor, and they liked it. They thought it was cool. I'm not disagreeing. I just don't really have much to say. Although Chris, your favorite guy in the world, was calling color on the microphone. Fred Willard.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I did notice that, and I'm glad that. Hopefully they bring him back as long as he's able to be there. It seems like Chris Harrison enjoys it. I think Chris likes it more than Fred does at this point. Right.
Well, yeah. So no talk about Tracy and Demi, huh? I mean, we kind of skipped over that because we started talking about Hannah and Kaylin. But anything about Tracy looking like Lindsay Lohan plus Lady Gaga combined?
I said last week, those eyebrows are... And someone tweeted this, so I know I'm not the only one. Those eyebrows are just killing her. Demi's great. I think she's awesome to watch and she's fun and she's kind of hitting all the marks, but she's 23 and she's clearly following the Corinne guidebook. It's great, but she has no chance and she knows it. We know it. So it is kind of a letdown. It's anticlimactic to just sort of understand that this is just her way in and that, you know, it's not going to go anywhere.
Can I give you some bachelor history for this?
Yes.
Okay. In these situations, sometimes it's hard to tell who's the villain. I think Tracy might be as bad as Demi, but because she hides it better by being a little bit more low-key, passive-aggressive, not responding back, diffusing situations by saying, okay, I'm not arguing, once she loses. And this is something that Carly, who everyone forgot was like this, was. And it came purely out of jealousy. Carly was not the best, the most attractive or the most accomplished or anything else in her season. She was on with the guy that, the Iowa guy that ran over, that killed somebody.
Yeah. Chris Soules.
Right, Chris Soules. She did not, I don't even think she cared about Chris Soules at all. She just cared about how jealous she was and how much the other women affected her. So you couldn't tell that until the end because she kept attacking women the way Tracy kind of attacks Demi. So Demi's obviously the villain, but I would say that Tracy is not innocent in this.
Well, of course not. Yeah.
Right. But Demi's also something that I would never advise her to do is attack. There's another girl that she is seen kind of attacking this season.
I agree with everything you're saying, but do you find any of that interesting? And by that, I mean, worth talking about. It's like, okay, they're fighting and she's this way and she's that way. Okay, great.
It's only interesting in that the show is cutting out the fact that Tracy is wrong too. They can't have a layered argument. They have to have a right or wrong. They have to have a reactionary and that's the only part that's interesting. Okay. That's my only issue. I don't like when they do that. You know, and I can't defend Demi, but I can implicate Tracy.
Maybe... You guys have a different view, but I think as far as villains go, Demi is not so villainous.
Right.
Because the thing that usually marks the villains that are really clear and probably really good to love or hate is their social status in the house. And she, as far as I can tell, has a lot of friends. She has just these Tracy and maybe a few of the other cougars that she butts heads with, but she's pretty sociable.
We should hold off our approval of Demi until next week because she seems to really get in a fight with Courtney, yes. Who has so far done nothing is cool. not an instigator. So we'll see how that goes before we say right. how good or bad she is.
Can we play the fashion drop, EZR?
Okay.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people know where
it. Oh, gosh. What was I thinking? Craig, be proud.
Too late. It's too late.
I have them okay, all. I got two fashion things to say. The first is about Tracy and those eyebrows. I said last week she was wearing one of these huge Curious George books, the adult.
The yellow jacket.
Yeah, he's wearing this huge circular hat. I'm just not into that, especially when it's inside. I don't like it when people wear hats inside. She doesn't have the bachelor look. I don't like her style. I don't like her look. I don't like the eyebrows. Don't wear the hat again. Now, unless you all have anything to say about that.
Nope.
Okay. Colton does something that I do. If you know me in person, I pretty much wear the same thing every day. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Cargo now, pants.
Yeah, REI, outdoorsy cargo pants, and a V-neck shirt. When I go to work, I try to wear a little bit nicer, so I'll wear a long sleeve V-neck shirt. So what I do is I have a no-name brand that makes this long sleeve V-neck shirt that I like in various colors. So I bought all the colors. So I wear a different color every day, but it's the same shirt. Now, Colton was doing that last night. He wore a maroon V-neck. It was four buttons that was unbuttoned the first two to create a V-neck. It looked a little bit like a sweater, had texture to it. And then when he went on the date at the roller coaster park, he was wearing the same shirt, but in dark blue. Do you notice that?
No.
No.
Do you have anything to say about that?
Craig, you have to have things to say. That's the point. And we don't on fashion because you're the master.
All right.
My only thing to say is that totally goes with his personality. Not that you're like this, Craig, but
yeah, no, I the like
fact
that.
He's trying. No, yeah, but the fact that he's trying to simplify his life in so many ways, including fashion choices, is probably just more of evidence to what we're saying that he is just too.
He's too what?
He can't deal with
he's
complex.
Too what? He can't deal with what?
Yeah.
Now, in defense of Colton,
ideas or emotions.
I don't think I'm a very simpleton person.
ECR, I actually am Craig. I think this would be. I think I have a fundamentally different view of Colton than either of you. But you saying that about his wardrobe makes me think: isn't that a trait of people who are usually really focused?
Uh-huh,
that it's
uh-huh.
sort of, and he has that intensity of. Having been an NFL player, I don't disagree that maybe there's some bland qualities that come out on TV, but that doesn't also mean that I don't think he's a really focused, intense person. And I could see that wardrobe choice. It's like the Steve Jobs thing.
Yes. And yeah. Anytime you see someone from the future in TV or film, they always are wearing the same outfit.
Simple choices from simple men.
I was just going to say, in response to what you were saying, you used the word strip down their life or something like that. I actually did that exact thing a number of years ago. I was having a hard go of it in life, and I just split up with somebody, and I moved into a new place, and I was having some bad mental health, and I just decided to trim everything. I got rid of my wardrobe. I got rid of most of my possessions. I stopped driving completely. So I didn't have to worry about cars or gas or even my license. And I just took it all out. And then I rebuilt my wardrobe with the same things in different colors. I wear tactical REI type pants because they are indestructible and you can spill stuff on them and they just bounces off. And it works. It works great.
To me, it makes sense. It makes sense. And I think positive or negative ancillary personality things are different than that core focus. I think that's a different kind of focus that you're describing, Craig. It's sort of, I understand that.
I stand by my original comments. If you heard that.
All right. But, okay. Last topic, wild card. Let's go with who we think is going to win. So I continue to think the same people that I've said the last two episodes, which is Katie and Sydney, thus making two women of color that I think are going to make it to the end, which goes against the assumption that he's going to go with blonde white women. I think Hannah G didn't do anything to knock herself out of the running. And if I had to pick a fourth, I've said this in the past, and for the fantasy suites, you get three. And I've always thought that one of the three should be someone you know is not going to win, but you know is going to be good in bed. And Demi completely fits that. He would learn a lot about sex. So that could potentially happen, but I don't know if Colton was really thinking about that, unlike maybe some of the other guys.
No, he definitely isn't. And that whole sexualizing him, another woman did it during the Bachelor games. And it doesn't even make him awkward. It just doesn't work for him.
Right.
I still say Kaylin and Hannah B. I still say Kaylin, which I think you guys don't believe me, but.
Kaylin as the winner?
No, not the winner.
As a top three.
Okay. I think she's going to coast on her looks for a long time, despite the issues, the obvious issues.
Yeah. Well, I think Elise is going to go far. I'm going to say she'll be final four. I agree on Sydney. I think first impression, I forget her name.
Hannah G.
Yeah.
Yes,
we're all in agreement about Hannah G.
That's safe. That's a safe assumption. And then who is the, I'm sorry to not have her name, but the blonde speech pathologist, as you called her, ECR?
Cassie.
Cassie. Those are my picks.
I have no idea who Cassie is.
Unfortunately. I can't believe you guys like Sydney. She was such a conceited person and bratty that's the only time I've ever really heard her speak. And when she got yelled at or she got kicked out by Onyeka.
I think he likes her though.
Really?
She's a professional athlete, right? She's an NBA dancer.
But she's not a WNBA player. Like, you know, I felt
it takes a lot of athletic prowess, and she is around.
Sure, but that's athletics. I don't know.
Her stretching ability was amazing.
Because that's the moment where I thought she probably has a chance at being a top, because she was able, that was the closest thing to a sexual moment there. She kind of knew like what the sports version of that was, don't you think?
Yeah. You think she's going to get in on the sports angle?
She sort of has a few, she's alchemizing a few things there. She has the sports angle, but like you said, everyone's trying to figure out the way to sexualize him in a way that's going to curry favor for themselves. I think she's the only one who's successfully done it so far with the stretching thing.
Ooh, I guess I didn't even see him caring. I felt like he was stretching a bro, where I didn't even notice the sexualization.
She was like, go ahead, stretch deep, you know, stretch like deep.
Stretch deep. Well, all right, that's the phrase of the day, is stretch deep.
I do every day. I have the mentality of a 15-year-old boy, so I'm the right person to think that that's a very sexual thing. But yeah, I'll do that too.
All right. Anything else?
I need us to be 2 weeks further out, people, and then I'm in. Right now, I don't care about this beauty drama that's happening. I need that to be done, and let's get 2 weeks. I figure next week, it's going to be more filler. The week after, Bachelor Masters is in.
Yes. That sounds good, Chris.
Kaylin and Colton for the win.
All right.
He might just go with beauty and what he needs in life as opposed to what he thinks he wants.
All right. Well, see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.